Welcome, everybody, to the Rural Planning Commission workshop on legislative hearing procedures. And before we get started, I'd like to introduce our newest member, John Chambers, who will be replacing Jim Brumbach. And because John doesn't know everybody, why don't we go around the table and do introductions?
Ron Wright.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm Melissa Older. We met.
Yes.
I'm Grace Silverberg, planner.
Good. Grace, good.
I'm James Black, and I'm the interim planning director.
Okay.
John, I'm Dave Church, and I'm a planning commission member.
Great, thank
Just
you.
A member.
Dave, and I won't remember your names.
That's okay.
I know who you all are. But
Gary DeSimone, the vice chair.
Okay, yeah.
Jocelyn Richardson, member.
Jocelyn, good, thank you. And
you
who's know. This guy?
And Margaret Goodman, chair.
Yes.
Okay, so the reason that we're having this, and I wish Christina was here because she actually asked this question in an email, but the reason that we're having this workshop is because on June 6th we're going to have a legislative hearing, which is a little different than the types of hearings we usually have, which are quasi-judicial. And the difference between a legislative hearing and a quasi-judicial hearing essentially is that in a quasi-judicial hearing, such as a zone change, it affects a specific property, and you know the uses of that property can change along with the zone change. If you change from woodlot resource to rural residential, for example, it doesn't affect any other properties. Whereas with a legislative change, it actually changes the law, it changes the definition of the zone, it changes the permitted uses on the zone, so it affects everybody who has property within that zone. And today we're going to talk about the procedures for a legislative hearing, which are slightly different than a quasi-judicial hearing. We're going to talk about the requirements for amending the comprehensive plan. And we're also going to talk about what is meant by agricultural use, because the hearing that's coming up is actually to permit agricultural use on industrial and light industrial lands. So before we get started, I'd like to remind everybody that this is a workshop, it's not a hearing. At the workshop, we can only discuss general issues, educational, informational issues about procedures, laws, requirements, definitions. We cannot discuss any of the circumstances related to the hearing that's coming up on June 6th. So if anybody should happen to mention that in discussion, I'm going to have to cut you off because we can't talk about that here. That violates public meeting law because that's got to be in a notice public meeting. And also just among yourselves, if you should happen to run into another budget committee member between now and then, you can't talk to them about it either. You can only talk about that in public meeting. Yeah.
Okay, so when is the public notice going to come out so that even we can find out what it's going to be about?
Oh, well, it's going to, I don't know exactly.
For the hearing, it should be in the newspaper. I'll send it out on the 23rd, so it'll be in the newspaper that Friday after the 23rd.
Okay. Are you also going to be sending us a copy of it as well?
Because I will send, you're going to get your staff reports and your agendas tonight.
Okay.
So you'll have all your material tonight with you when you leave. But I can send you a copy of that if you would like.
Okay, because I'd like to find out what it's about, because if it's a public hearing, there's going to be public that's going to come to it, and if nobody knows what it's about.
We always get the staff report, and you know, if it's a land use application, we get the application, the land. We get all the information ahead of the public. I think we generally get it like 10 days ahead, and this time we're getting it like 3 weeks ahead. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank Grace.
You don't remember the old days when you used to get it on Friday.
Yeah. So, yes.
Margaret, I want to make sure I'm not confused. We are having a hearing on June 6th to change some portion of the Rural Land Development Code.
Yes.
Is that correct? But it's not regarding a specific property or anything.
No.
Okay.
It's regarding the zone. It's permitted uses in the zone itself.
Right. Okay.
So anyone who has.
I thought you said something about that there would be people there to speak.
people may be
about their
they
prop,
may
yeah,
be
okay.
in well they won't probably be speaking. I mean they can if they want to. They can speak about whatever they want to.
Sure.
But the hearing is, and you know, people may have opinions, and some of their opinions may be based
gotcha.
On their own uses or desired uses of their property.
Okay.
But what the hearing is about an actual change in the permitted uses in industrial and
okay.
industrial zones.
I'm clear on that.
So
thank
it's not
you.
Related to speech. Any other questions before we start? Okay, take it away, James.
All right. What I'm going to do, I'm going to just, I found a code section here that it's just a good refresher for everyone. It's the review procedures for the Planning Commission. And I'm just going to read through that because essentially this is why we're all here to discuss this. So this is section 46020. It's not in your handout. It's in your land use code.
Land use code.
Yeah, that one right there.
Okay.
Article 46. So I'm just going to start from the top. Applications to amend any element of the comprehensive plan shall be processed using Planning Commission review procedures and or the Board of County Commissioners review procedures. Applications to amend any element of the comprehensive plan shall be reviewed and decided as follows. The Planning Commission shall review all applications to amend any element of the comprehensive plan. This includes text amendments, and that's specifically what you guys are going to be seeing on June 6th, is a text amendment. Remember, our comprehensive plan is kind of the umbrella catch-all for several different documents. In there, we have our land use code, we have goals, we have maps, overlay maps. All those things encompass our comprehensive plan. It's a general term for a lot of different documents. And a piece of this is our land use code. So when we call out change to comprehensive plan, we are changing a piece of this in a text amendment. Okay. The Planning Commission shall make final decisions on applications to amend any element of the comprehensive plan unless the applications involve an exception to statewide planning goals or involve lands designated as agricultural or forest lands under statewide planning goal. This text amendment that we're talking about does not involve farm or forest lands. So with that, we can move forward, and the Planning Commission has authority to make the decision on this. Final decision shall be in the form of written findings. We all know that part. And explain the standards and criteria relevant to the decision. Grace is in our next part here. Grace is going to go through the review standards and criteria for this. Final decisions from the Planning Commission may be appealed on record to the board. Applications involve exceptions to agricultural forest lands shall be reviewed by Planning Commission for recommendation only. Now, these are for zone changes. When we're talking about a forest or a forest piece of property, we want to change the zone to residential. This body can only make recommendations in that case. Here, we're only talking about we're only talking about things out, not farm and forest. So you do have authority on this. All Planning Commission hearings shall be noticed as per Chapter 3 of the Code. And this meeting was posted in the paper, as well the next meeting will be in the paper. Because we're not talking about anyone's piece of property where we have a buffer, a notice area that we have to do, we don't have that here, so we must send it out in a paper for general circulation, so everyone can get a chance to come in. That's what makes this a legislative matter, and it's different, as you mentioned before. I just think sometimes as I sit at my desk and I review any applications, I always like to go to the code and what's the review authority. I start with the basic baseline level. Why are we here? How can I do that? What tells me that we can make a decision on this? So I thought that was important to pull that out. And let's see.
Can I ask a clarifying
sure.
question? Does it matter who proposes this legislative change? If it comes from a group of individuals versus the planning department choosing to make the decision or choosing to make the change?
That's a good question. When it comes to text amendments, anyone from the public can submit an application. We have a pretty large fee to do that, and there's an application. Or the county commissioners can initiate the process. This planning commission can initiate the process. So there's basically we got the board, the planning commission, and individuals. Can any of those bodies?
Can you all do it too?
Yeah.
I think a good example is like Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel. If you were to forget the majority of it and just focus on the adding it to the inventory of significant sites, that standalone would have been only a text amendment. And then you could, and an individual initiated that. And so you could have had the decision-making powers on that, but since it was a much larger issue, zone change, we lumped it together and worked it through the quasi-judicial process.
The code does allow the planning director to initiate text amendments, but most of the time, the ones that I've seen the last 12 years I've been here, they usually, the director would go to the board and get permission from the board, because really it's an unfunded project. Our applications are fee, we get fees to support. When we have these kind of projects, they're not funded. So we want the board to sign off on that. Yes, we'll put staff time to move forward with these kind of things.
So if the state changed a rule and you or changed something and you had to make a change to the comprehensive plan, it would still be up to the commission then to direct you to do that in order to spend
that is
the funds.
That is the smartest way to do it, in my opinion, because those are unfunded projects for our department to put staff time into those matters.
Don't have to do it that way.
Yeah.
It's just the smart way to do it.
It's just the smart way to do it. Correct. And that's how we did this one. So, I just wanted to go through that part. Do we want to move into your text amendment requirements at this point in time? Or did you want, you had a little bit more to add.
Mostly the process right now, and then I'll see
Sounds
how much
good.
You want me to get into the criteria.
Speaking of the process, we have here, I've got a cheat sheet on the quasi-judicial process for the actual procedure, the hearings, and I don't know if I have one for the legislative.
You will
part.
Get, you got it, and I just, actually, this is in your packet.
In the packet, okay, great.
And so I just highlight, I'm just highlighting what's in
great.
The packet already.
Just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
I wouldn't be making
There's
it up to at all.
And,
okay.
I don't know if you want, I want to point this out. Somewhere.
Oh, I was, that was something I was going to point
Good.
Out, right. Okay, like Margaret said, it is similar to a quasi-judicial hearing. It'll almost appear to be almost the same way. One exception is that in a quasi-judicial hearing, if someone wants a continuance, you virtually have to grant it. That is not the case in a legislative hearing. You do not have to. Now, you can choose to grant a continuance or keep the record open if you feel it'll be helpful or in fairness to something or you need more time to deliberate.
Or item specific.
Okay, I didn't read that, but if you read it carefully, you'll...
Yeah, you don't want to hold it open just to hold it open. You want to hold it open specifically.
Oh, exactly.
To,
and to a
date,
time and date certain, of course. So that's an important thing to remember. Also, you can also keep the record open. You can choose to. But you do not have to just because somebody wants you to. Somebody else wants you to. Another difference is that participants get 5 minutes instead of 3 minutes to speak. So they get a little bit longer time. That does not, it does say 10 minutes for the staff report.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that comes from, but ignore that. Staff gets as much time as we need to explain it as fully as possible to you.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Somebody at one point in history added that it's nowhere in the code book. That staff is limited to 10 minutes. Now it does limit the speakers. So, and in this case, of course, you don't have an applicant and representatives and things like that. As James said, the Planning Commission makes the decision. It's possible it could be appealed to the board. If it's not appealed, then after the findings are signed, staff writes up an ordinance, and then it goes to the board, and then they will have one first reading, separated by a minimum 13 days, and then they have the second reading. And once they have had the second reading, they can sign the ordinance. But then the county charter kicks it into a 90-day wait before it can actually be implemented.
Is there a hearing on the ordinance at the board level, or is that just opportunity for public comment?
It is considered a hearing. Mm-hmm. It is public. Mm-hmm. And
Yes,
that's true. Mm-hmm. Just like it's a separate agenda item when you come to their meetings. Mm-hmm.
It's just like any reading of any ordinance where they read the ordinance, public comments.
I hadn't been to that many county commissioner meetings, so I didn't know.
All right. So I was going to, and it's on the agenda, talk about agricultural uses, but I thought it might kind of lapse over into hearing. So I just thought I'd point out, in the staff report, which you're about to get, I pretty much give you a bullet list of what's in the definition of agricultural use in the code. And then in Exhibit E is the full text for you to study up, take the next 3 weeks to study up about what's agricultural use and what isn't. Okay. So, and now James said that you wanted me to list the criteria. I actually hadn't planned on it, but I can't.
Well, if you wanted to go through the plan amount, you had it as
Exhibit C.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to do that or not. It's up to you.
It's up to the planning commission. And I have it kind of, it's shorthanded as usual, and then I give you the full text to study up before the hearing, and then you can have kind of a shorthand version of it as well. So what's your preference? You want to go through the criteria for this?
Sure.
We're here.
You're here. Okay. So then. Okay. Basically, you would do the similar things to Article 46, the Plan Amendment Review Criteria, Section 46.040. So compliance with all applicable statewide and county goals and policies, which I've pulled out and tried to select, which are relevant, which are not. The second one is change from resource designation to a non-resource. That's not relevant to this particular case because we're not dealing with resource lands. Adequate carrying capacity. That is an important one, and as well as D, consistency with the surrounding areas. So these are all the things you need to consider.
I don't know where you're reading from.
That's because you don't have it.
Yes, we do.
Well, we have it.
Exhibit C, okay, but that's not what you're reading. The shorthand version.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll cite the letter. And then you get the long version?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So we are looking at 46.040. I'll go back to C.
Request involving changes to the plan. Is that mm-hmm. where I am? Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. You know, I've got to look at my list too because.
Yes, there we go.
Yes.
Connects.
Basically,
that's the same. Oh, I see. That's the same as my hand.
All right. C is carrying capacity.
Yeah, see how it all fits together.
Okay, right. You'll get it here.
Okay.
Carrying capacity largely refers to adequate water, adequate septic, and adequate transportation access, typically.
Now, for a legislative hearing, that seems like that's more applicable to a specific property. So when we're talking about all industrial, light industrial.
And I do address that in the staff report. Essentially, I'm never quite sure how much I can say.
Well, that's not.
Okay, so essentially I would say in the staff report that in the industrial zones, any new use, you know, suppose you approve all this, it goes all the way through, and now there is this new use in the industrial zones. Well, then the applicants will come on a case-by-case basis, on a parcel-by-parcel basis, in which case they have to now go through a site plan review with the planning department. And at that stage, that's when we look in depth at septic capacity, water. There's no way
it's
you
not
can,
really relevant to the legislative.
No, but it's required that you go through these things.
Okay.
Right.
But How do you go through analyzing a carrying capacity for something that you don't know what it is? I don't understand that.
It's just in the code. And,
yeah, I understand it's in the code, but I don't know how you would do an analysis of something that is not there to analyze.
You couldn't do it.
I think
you
just acknowledge that it will
you just
be
acknowledge
analyzed
that it's there.
On a case-by-case basis.
There you go. That's how you do
it. Exactly. Because, I mean, look at the water system in this county. It's fractured. You can get, dig a well and get nothing and move your drill 50 feet and get a gusher. Or you go two parcels down, you get a trickle. You know, I mean, it's a fractured system. There's no two parcels the same. And the same with septic. All the varied soils require different septic systems. The traffic, it depends on the road. So again, and in the staff report, you'll see basically I'm emphasizing that it's on a case-by-case basis.
So the same thing is true for the C4, the increased risk from hazards.
Exactly. All of those will be looked at on a case-by-case basis.
So we don't define anywhere what a hazard would be against any one of those broader categories.
No.
Yes. I mean, on a case-by-case basis, we're going to look at fire hazards. We're going to look at flood hazards. We're going to look at, erosion hazards.
All that will be evaluated during an application.
Right.
But it won't
but
have any effect on us right
no
now.
There's no criteria against which to judge it.
Not for
here.
A legislative hearing.
Not on right. something this broad.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that if we're going to have legislation, there ought to be embedded in the legislation, here's what constitutes a hazard.
Well, what constitutes a hazard is defined, but it comes into play on a case-by-case basis. It doesn't come into play when you're talking about changing.
So where is it defined?
We have fire hazards in the code. We have a whole section on fire requirements.
Right.
We have access requirements. We have.
So when it talks about this, it specifically relates to those things which we have previously defined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a new hazard, a hazard which has not previously been defined, where does that come from?
Well, as thorough as the code book is, I don't have any idea what kind of hazard you might need.
Okay.
So I mean, we're looking at flood, we're looking at fire, we're looking at traffic. We're looking at
septic water,
the whole schmear. We give notice to all of the agencies that have some kind of input, some kind of interest in that, and what we don't have in the code, they let us know what they might consider to be a hazard or something that needs to be mitigated.
And that would be very specific to a property. You can't say that for all
mm-hmm.
industrial zones, every property industrial zone, you can't go across and look at everyone and say, well, this one might have a fire hazard if we allow agricultural use, and that one might have a flood hazard if we allow agricultural use. You just can't do it that broadly. So the reason this is here is because this is just the procedure that you have to go through to do a text amendment, regardless of what kind of amendment it is. Some of the things are applicable and some of them aren't really applicable to this type
That's
of text
correct.
Amendment.
Right.
So, but we have to review and acknowledge them all, acknowledge that this is there, it's a criteria, it's not applicable for this type of text amendment.
But, if I may, but I presume we're going to be presented with some text.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You are.
Quite a bit of it.
Yes. Probably. Yeah.
And
those binders over there.
Okay. And can we amend it?
Can you amend?
Can we amend this text?
Yes.
We say we like this text, except.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and that's
your job.
Okay, good. So if there is a hazard that you see that is nowhere in the codes, perhaps we could put that into the text and say this is a special hazard for this type of activity that goes into this code, because it's not fire, it's not water, it's not all the other things that are in the code. This is a specialized kind of hazard, and we want to put this into this text.
That may be difficult because the multitude of different types of businesses with each with their own unique hazard.
Well, I think
that would be a different type of hearing to do that than this. If you're going to define a new type of hazard for the Rural Land Development Code, it wouldn't apply specifically to this. It would be a new type of hazard that would be considered elsewhere. So it wouldn't be specific.
Well, if somebody wants to put in a particular kind of hazard, then we'll cross the bridge.
I think that would come on a case-by-case basis again. Because then you are matching up the request for the use for the application to that specific piece of property.
I can just throw one out. Let's call it talk about noise abatement.
Talk about, I'm sorry?
Noise.
Yes.
Noise
okay.
as
that
a hazard.
One
Does noise count as a hazard?
No, but it is looked at.
It is one of
on a case-by-case basis.
On case-by-case application.
There are times when we require certain applicants to put noise barriers, if it's a particularly loud one, or to demonstrate that...
Gravel pits.
For example, in Sunny Valley, it's actually defined by the state what the allowable level of noise in decibels is. And in the one previous to that, actually, when we had the ODOT one, I think that they actually decided not to pursue it because we put so many restrictions that they thought that it wasn't cost-effective to do it there, and they went somewhere else. But one of those was noise, and had to do with muffling the sound of the gravel going into trucks and all kinds of things. So, so that is definitely one that is considered, but it's considered specific application on a case.
So that one's already covered. But you and I think we're both talking about one that isn't covered. It just isn't in there. And I cannot go to what it might be because it might have something to do with what this is going to be about, and I don't know what this is going to be about. But my point is, if we want to be able to amend the text to say there's a specific hazard with this, what we're talking about, the thing is, so if we get to that point, since we don't know what it is, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I think.
But I wanted to throw it out for you that if there is a hazard that's not covered someplace else, I want to be able to address it in the text.
Well, be sure that you read all of the codes and all of the hazards that are addressed somewhere else, so we don't waste time going through them one by one in the hearing.
And I think that we need to let you know that I think I know what you're referring to.
Okay.
Let's all tiptoe around this.
However, we are
a lot of mind reading going on here.
That particular thing, we are treating this as an agricultural use.
Right.
Defined by OLCC, the marijuana.
I know exactly what
it is. Agricultural use. So, if that's allowed, that means that all of the different types of agricultural uses that are listed in the code, the one hazard that you're thinking of a specific one, if you put it in an ordinance, it rather skews it for some other type of use. If you make it required, whatever it might be, and then you apply it to something that is totally irrelevant,
Like tomato growers.
Right.
It becomes problematic.
Right.
I
do understand the needle we're trying to thread.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that. But
But
I'm just trying to allow your point that if there's a hazard there that isn't anyplace else, we want to be able to put it in.
Okay, and also we have had meetings with different agencies that are involved in that specific type of hazard, and we've kind of developed a system who's going to have oversight, and so it's already being addressed. It's not specifically in the code, but any kind of hazard.
Okay.
Explosive hazards, fire hazards, flood hazards.
That's fine.
So forth. Okay.
Well, without knowing what we're talking about and just discussing things, I can think of several things that are agricultural in nature that have hazards associated with them,
mm-hmm.
that has nothing to do with what we appear to be tiptoeing away.
Right.
And I just, it's not always fire, and it's not always, there's
right.
some of them are fairly elemental problems
mm-hmm.
associated
no,
with them.
And I think we understand that, because we deal with those in the other zones. But remember, that one use is maybe one of 50 different uses. And all I'm saying is that if you put one thing, address one hazard in the ordinance itself, and think about the other 49 uses, that's,
we
you know.
Ran into that a lot when we were doing the cell phone ordinance, because the, for whatever reason, the BCC let the Williams set up and run the cell phone ordinance, but Williams didn't want cell phones. But it wasn't a Williams ordinance. It was a county ordinance. So our broad spectrum says, if you don't like it, that's not necessarily meaning anything to everybody else. So it's the general input of what everybody else says that's going to decide where that lays.
I think what we have to bear in mind here is that we are not, you know, even though somebody may impute some specific intention to behind this change, that this a change does affect all agricultural uses and across any industrial site. And I'm not sure that there are hazards of agricultural uses that are unique to industrial sites that don't apply to other agricultural sites as well. So I'm not sure why there would be a necessity to come up with new hazards for agricultural uses specifically on industrial sites. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think we're starting to get into the area of the hearing now.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
But, all right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we do address chemicals.
Yeah, I would suggest one way to look at the whole issue of C is that the issue of carrying capacity is rather broad and generic in
right.
this application of a text amendment. It's certainly not site-specific, and I think we just have to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things simply don't apply,
yeah.
and that's okay. You know,
it is okay.
Right. mm-hmm. Well, that's
said.
With every situation like this.
Well said.
That's okay. So we are at another one, a D, consistency with the surrounding areas. And again, that'll be an interesting one, I think. That one would be kind of a challenge for you to address one way or another. And D, and it also, under D, it talks about density and types of uses. You know, density applies, I think, when most cases it's residential density. So without getting into that, again, we've addressed that in the staff report.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So I know you'd have better questions if you'd read that first, but
yeah.
we simply can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but they can. You can raise those questions at the hearing.
Right.
So, all right. If you don't, now here in D, the first one is, if you do not find that this use is consistent with other uses in the industrial zone or surrounding uses, you can go to 2. You can discuss and analyze how it's justified, how that inconsistency is justified. So that one I pretty much left to, I mean, set up an analysis, but basically you can disregard all of that. You can come up with your own. This is, you know, your hearing and your decisions. Any questions on D before I go to E? I know I'm skimming over it, but it is in full detail in your staff report.
Okay.
To study.
Okay.
Okay. Now, E, requests involving changes to the plan and or zone maps within established exception areas. The industrial zone is an exception area. An exception area simply means it's an exception to the farm or forest zone. So the industrial, commercial, residential areas are already exceptional, exception lands. So if there are already exceptions, Lyons, they have to address OAR 660-004-008.
And so wait a minute, say that again. That rural residential is an exception and agricultural?
It's an exception to an agricultural or forest zone.
Right.
Forest
and so there's either forest or there's agricultural, and those of us who live in rural residential, it's an exception to agriculture, so we're there on severance, so to speak.
Well, I wouldn't exactly put it that way, but basically,
because we don't
farm and
there.
Forest are resource lands.
Right.
Everything that is non-resource is an exception to the reason.
That's by rule
that
or
makes
definition
sense.
Or
that's
something.
By rule
okay.
or definition.
Okay, I got you.
Make sense?
Yeah.
That's as simple as I can make it.
That makes sense as
okay.
the exception.
Okay. So, that is addressed. I'm giving two.
So we can go online and look up OAR.
It's in the
book.
It's in the book.
Turn the page, and it's there.
Oh, it's there.
Oh my!
All I had to
essentially,
do.
Essentially, this one is basically for. It's more geared for when you're trying to change a zone, let's say from residential to commercial, that might be denser, or let's say. A resource zone into a residential zone that's not a non-re, you know, we have the approach of going from a resource to a non-resource land if it's zone woodlot resource or farm resource. But if you get forest commercial and exclusive farm, then you have to take an exception to the goal. You have to turn it into an exceptions land, right? Well, the only way to do that is to make a case that it is physically developed within the parcel itself, or it is irrevocably committed, meaning it is so developed around it that it can no longer practice farming or forestry.
Mm.
Okay? This does not apply to this particular text amendment because we're not doing it's already committed to industrial use. It's already irrevocably developed. So it just simply doesn't apply, that one. Okay. Then you have to address the OAR. Now this will kick it into, this particular OAR, 0018, kicks it into, if it is an unincorporated community, then it has to go to OAR 660-022-0030, which is planning and zoning of unincorporated communities. Well, the Merlin North Valley area is an unincorporated rural community with its own industrial zones,
mm-hmm.
community industrial and community light industrial park. So that means we have to address that. And the relevant ones are, provisions are number 3, number 6, number 7, and number 8. Okay, so number 3 is only the following new or expanded uses are allowed in unincorporated communities. And I honestly don't think I can get into this because it's, again, a hearing.
Okay.
I really think, and I do give an explanation what applies or what doesn't and why it doesn't apply under the findings. And, okay, 7 and 8, yeah, on all of this whole session I've pretty much addressed with the finding. And again, you don't have to agree with it. This is, you know. And then there's a statewide planning goal, citizen involvement, land use planning, basically. And this is a post-acknowledgement plan amendment, shorthand called PAPA, post-acknowledgement plan amendment, because the text is, we're amending the text. Maybe. If you approve, we're amending it. If you deny it, we're not amending it. Okay, economic development is goal 9, the statewide ones. And Oregon Administrative Rule, this is the transportation planning rule. That's addressed.
These parts are not in your handout.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, good.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm just kind of going over what the very broad regulations you have to look at.
Okay.
And then we have the county goals. Goal 5 is to diversify, expand, and stabilize economic opportunities for the betterment of the county. And goal 11 is the comprehensive plan shall be maintained, amended, and updated as necessary. And then I address that. And then there's a county transportation plan. I'm assuming that Public Works will be in attendance at the hearing. If you, again, all right, and then there is a discussion, and I will have a map, both if Bob helps me get it on the screen, it'll be fun to play with, where, so you can see the industrial areas in the county, and how widespread they are, and how much of it we have, and how it's distributed, and so forth. And basically, then, the kinds of questions that we felt needed to be asked by you while you're thinking through the process, and then what your options are. You know, all the way from outright approval to approval in some version of what we've discussed, or some other version that you've come up with on your own, or just flat out deny the whole thing. So basically, those are your choices. And then we have our recommendations, which you will read about. And then kind of a couple of mock ordinances to show you what it would be like. And again, you're not committed to either one of these. You can, but basically what these are, you don't have it, John.
Okay, good.
Okay. Basically, this is... It's the very last page in the staff report outside of the exhibits list.
Okay,
that's essentially how it would be set up.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's listed in what section of the code and what letter under that subsection and what number under that letter of the subsection and so forth. Mm-hmm. So since it's a good thing you have a few weeks to study up on it. And then your exhibits. And all of the full text of the OARs, the code that's relevant, the definition of agriculture is all in your attachments to go, because I've just given you the shorthand bulleted version here. And anything else?
Oh, I think you got most of it.
I think so. Any questions? It's a lot to absorb. Just, you're going to be reading, so...
No, I know. No, I'm just sort of stunned. Any questions?
Yeah. Can I ask you, well, in your staff report, does she give us the percentage of business industrial land versus our current ag land in there?
Not that, but I do give you the acreage,
okay,
the number of plots, what's vacant, what's developed, and how much... acreage is relative to the private land percentage. Did not count government property, which is 73%, other than that it would have looked like nothing. Mm-hmm. So just to the privately owned outside of the cities, the two cities, urban growth boundaries, so you will be getting that. And it's in the staff report. And I'll present it again at the hearing.
The notebook looks mercifully short.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad. You're getting off easy. It's,
yeah,
it's a light one.
Oh, thanks.
And we need to read it.
Don't think it's always this
thing. I'd love to say it is. Mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
All right. Any further questions or matters for discussion at the workshop?
I'm going to ask one question. The new Rogue Creamery location.
Yeah, on Upper River Road. Uh-huh.
That's a concentrated use that has a distinct odor associated with the cows and the, mm-hmm, the milking facility and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Where would I find in the county ordinances and anything issued dealing with agricultural odors?
Well,
since we have
in
these
rural state regulations,
that's what I want to know.
It is, I believe, OAR 33. I do believe that's the one. in the exclusive farm zone in which the creamery is located, there's the right to farm bill, and anybody outside of that farm system does not have the right to complain about odors, farm noises, etc. That's the Oregon Right to Farm Act.
Is that is the exclusion for all of us? That someone decided to put in a dairy operation and we're already in a pre-existing rural residential, but they came in on a 20-acre plot and decided to have a dairy farm there, the people who already live there have no ability to complain?
If it's an exclusive farm zone, that is correct.
All right, but rural residential wouldn't be in an exclusive farm zone anyway, would it?
But if the creamery, she's saying if the creamery is
located in an exclusive farm zone, then you do not have the right to complain. On the other hand, actually, the state Right to Farm Act specifically cites exclusive farm zone. However, people in the residential areas have an outright use to farm.
Yes.
They do.
Yeah,
and then assigns that.
Well, that's what I'm having driven up and down that road and on a kind of a summer's evening, the stench is considerable.
Mm-hmm. But that is state law, and it's not something that the county can overrule.
Right.
There's a pig farm on New Hope Road.
I have a Coke section.
Oh, yeah, and then there's the dairy that's on Williams Highway.
Yeah, Noble Dairy. I'm behind Noble Dairy. It is what it is.
Generically, those farms were there in the middle of nowhere, and people built around it.
Right.
We did the PUD across from the gun club over by the schools, but we put it in there. The gun club was there first, and you can't bitch about the guns going off.
50?
Yeah.
Criteria for farm
use.
Now, it is okay, as I understand it, if we have a question, we can talk to staff.
Yep.
But we cannot talk among ourselves, and I just was letting some of the new people know about that.
Unfortunately, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Appreciate it.
There is
Thank
something
you.
In the residential zone which James has found.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, you guys can all look it up, 6150, criteria for farm use. Basically says farm use shall not interfere with the use of adjoining residential properties. All farm animals shall be confined. All structures must be 35 feet from property lines. Farm use shall not constitute a sanitation or health hazard is the last line there. So we do have that in a residential zone.
It excludes the FU.
So a rural residential zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not an exclusive farm zone.
Right? Exactly.
Exclusive farm zone, it's all, farming has the first priority. Mm-hmm. All right, any further questions? Going once?
That's an extra one.
Going twice?
Yes.
All right, we are adjourned.
Margaret, you were good.
That's a fast one, this.